Welcome to show number 96 of the Sports Card Show, brought to you by SportsCardRadio.com. Yo, what's going on, everybody? Hopefully you're all doing well out there. We're already halfway through the year, so hopefully your collections are at least halfway better than they were last year. I know mine probably is. I've gotten an Andy Dalton autograph and some other cards recently. I've been shopping quite a bit. Maybe that's why I haven't been doing as many podcasts. I'm probably collecting more cards now and shopping for them. Not really buying a lot, but shopping is more my thing to do. When you don't have a whole lot of money, you've got to just window shop, as they like to say, as you're walking down Rodeo Drive and Fifth Avenue and places like that. But anyways, but instead of talking about all the stuff that I've been looking at and been trying to buy, we'll talk about sports cards. We'll talk about, you know, we've done, this is our 96th episode. I think most of them have been pretty positive for the most part. Sometimes we break things down and but for the most part, you know, we're touching on like the positive issues, I guess, within the hobby. Sometimes a given set might be negative, but it's still, it'll still have some kind of positive, still an interesting set. It'll have some rookie cards and stuff like that in it at the very least, usually. But today in our main segment, we're going to kind of focus on the negative, because I get a lot of emails and I get lots of different things from all kinds of different collectors, people starting businesses that's asking me to promote and all this kind of different stuff. And I'm always very hesitant to get on. Not that we have millions of listeners and my influence stretches very far, but hey, you know, I do get a lot of emails from new collectors, and maybe sometimes I forget how, if you're just getting into the hobby, you might not know about some of the, I'm going to call it scandals and shadiness that doesn't happen a whole lot, but it's definitely worth being aware of. The more that people are aware of it, the less that it will happen. It's kind of like, I don't know, lots of crime. Like, you know, if your business gets robbed a lot and then all of a sudden you put, you know, 6'5" guy out in front and an armed guard or something out in front, your business is probably going to get robbed less. So the more awareness, the more upfront we are about the kind of scams and shadiness and scandals and shadiness that go on within the hobby, it's probably best to point some of those things out. We'll talk about some of those things: fake autographs, fake jersey cards, PayPal scams, bad traders on forums, people that set up websites to scam people, etc., etc. It goes on all the time. And we'll talk about some of that in our main segment. But before we get to that, we'll stick to our positive messages here in the first segment. And we'll talk about a couple different things. First thing, speaking of people contacting me to promote websites, it seems it's happening every... maybe that's a sign that the sports card economy is getting really good. It seems like every day I get like 3 or 4 requests to do something, put up a link, talk on the show about a website, blah, 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 blah. Goes down the line. It's, you know, I appreciate that, I guess, in some sense, but, maybe some of them listen to the podcast or whatever. A tip for everybody out there. If Sports Card Radio, I've done very little promotion for. Really, the promotion is trying to give out good information and trying to put up information on the website, whether it's a checklist or just these podcasts or whatever it is. You know, it doesn't really matter. And if you're a product-based kind of company, you know, just communicating with your customers if they have a problem, or if you are late shipping something out for something, you know, just being real with people and communicating with them. But my point was, I really didn't do any promotion for on Sports Card Show. I mean, I guess being on iTunes is a promotion, and doing the podcast and putting up stuff on the website. But in terms of advertising, on paying for advertising, not really. I got some free Google ads one time, but that's not the easiest way to drive traffic, or not the cheapest way to drive traffic to your site. If you're not selling it, I think if you're selling something, or if you have like a paywall on your site or something like that, that probably would work perfectly. And I could see why Google makes a lot of money. But anyways, a word to the wise, if you're starting a site, especially if it's brand new or even if you've been out there for a while, my best advice is just keep on listening to the people that are actually using your site and using your customers, you know. Sometimes acquiring customers, especially if you're selling something, acquiring customers really quickly and very at a rapid pace is sometimes not that great. Sometimes you want to ease into things, especially if you're selling, because if you gain a bunch of customers all at once, chances are there's some of those orders are going to fall through the cracks and customer service might not be up to par. And it's kind of like these podcasts. I don't do them. I think people would listen to them every week. I certainly have requests to do them every week or certainly much more often than I do. But I don't want to get on here and not have it be at least something I'm proud of. So I think if I did it every week or even every other week, honestly, I'd get bored of some of the stuff we talk about, or I just wouldn't put up my best effort, I guess. So that's my maybe. I don't know if that's the best advice or not, to not promote your website and not do anything. I think it takes a lot more work that way, and it takes a lot longer. But focus on what the people, your customers, for us, it's the listeners of the podcast and stuff like that, and people on our forum. I take what they say, and I try to hear what they say, and I think that's the most important thing. So in that vein, I will do a little promotion right now for a website that I actually thought was kind of interesting. He's been getting at me, I think, on Twitter, and it's actually cardstokids.org. So cards with an S and the number 2 and then kids with an S dot org. So cardstokids.org. Basically, this is a place. It looks like it was set up by a young man. I saw his Facebook page and he had a article. It looked like it was written up in one of the local newspapers that talked about how he set up this website to donate some cards. And it looks like he's taking it pretty seriously. It looks like he's either gotten some support. His website looks pretty nice. And basically, you just donate, you send cards in. Obviously, you're not going to send your Mickey Mantles and Kobe Bryant autographs, but you send any kind of, if you want to send in those, go ahead. But for the most part, you're sending in the base and the stuff that you can't sell and stuff that might be somewhat damaged or whatever, but it's still, you can read it and it's still, I mean, who knows what these kids, it's cool if they're like flipping them off the wall or whatever they do with them. If they're folding them into paper airplanes, it's okay. And in fact, that'll make your cards, the ones you save, will be worth more, because I think this is a good way to, if you have some cards. I've often heard of people, I've gotten emails in the past of people, where do I send? I got, 3,200 count boxes. Where do I send this stuff? Does anybody buy it? For the most part, they found out not really. So, donating it is a good option. And I'm sure there's some kind of tax write-off. You could probably take some kind of tax write-off. You could, per card, half cent per card or something. I don't know. You could figure it out. You can look them up all in Beckett, I guess, which might actually be a good thing to do, because you might have a box that's somewhat worthless, but Beckett value might be $3,000-$4,000, so might end up being a nice little tax write-off for some people if you make enough money to pay taxes. And so I just think it's an interesting site. It looks like there's no real BS. It's just he's trying to put you're trying to send him cards. I'm sure it's a little bit more than him at this point. You're trying to send this website cards and this group of people cards to this charity, and they'll end up sending them out to other people. So other kids and stuff, obviously cards to kids. So it's sent it to kids. So if you don't have a relationship with a school, or you don't know like a bunch of 15-year-olds or 10-year-olds that need cards, then this is a good outlet, I think. So wanted to mention that. And what else did I want to mention? Oh yeah, I wanted to mention on the last show we talked about Panini past and present basketball and how they had these draft pick redemption cards. I thought that was pretty cool. and I noticed that some of them were going for quite a bit of money, and I was getting kind of worried. I think I even said it on the show. I was like, man, be careful buying this, buying these, you know, even I think I said that the first one would be Kyrie Irving. Well, I was wrong about that. So you got to be careful with these things. You got to wait till the official word is handed down by the manufacturer. And Panini came out that, I think this last week. You probably saw it if you have your ears to the news, I guess. But if not, then I thought it was actually interesting what Panini did. I think really it would have been great if they would have announced this beforehand, before people had spent $150 on draft pick XRCA, which I think most of us thought would be Kyrie Irving, but still could be. I hope it is for the people that and for the people that sold the cards, because what ends up happening here is people bid up on these auctions, and then they find out, oh, A is not Kyrie Irving. They're actually having a live draft, and then they won't even pay for it. And then it kind of screws the person that had the right timing and the right inclinations to sell the card at that very early point. So kind of sucks. But the order of these cards, the cards I'm referring to are in past and present basketball. If you need a checklist or need a reference point, you can go to our website. But they're exchange cards, and they're going to be autographed by this year's rookies like Kyrie Irving, Marshawn Brooks. I don't even think the group of players has been finalized as well either. So you can't, other than Kyrie Irving, who has an exclusive deal, and I believe Derek Williams, I think he has some kind of deal with Panini. I can't be certain on that. But, you know, outside maybe the top lottery picks, you know, and that some of them didn't even make it. There was a guy that was picked pretty high that I don't think even came over here. So those guys, I doubt will have autographs, and I almost for certain they won't have autographs. But a lot of the first round picks, and some of the Chandler Parsons, I think, was drafted in the second round. And then Isaiah Thomas, I noticed, was picked at the back end of the very last pick of the NBA draft. And he had Isaiah Thomas, if you don't know, I'm not talking about Isaiah Thomas if you're my age. I'm talking about the Detroit Piston and the coach and the, you know, somewhat pesky point guard. A Laker fan, obviously, saying that at the moment. But Isaiah Thomas for the Sacramento Kings, another pesky point guard, but very good player. Played with a lot of heart, a lot of energy. So you like to see that with guys coming out of the second round. I hope he's in this. I'm talking about Isaiah Thomas like he's going to be part of this draft redemption group here, but I hope he is. But anyways, to make my point here, these redemptions are going to be a live draft, and it's going to be on Panini on October 29, 2012 at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. So you'll be able to figure that out as it gets closer. Almost Halloween there, October 29th. So the order of them, so you could have any one of these, and it could be anyone. So they all should be trading, I think, right now at the moment at about the same price. So hopefully everybody listening to this, if you're in the market for them, you're educated enough that these all should trade at the same price. So don't be fooled and paying more money than the average eBay price or the average price going for one of these cards. You should never, ever pay more. They should all trade literally at the same price. So hopefully that works out for you. And hopefully you have one of these, or hopefully you bought maybe one of the deal, I think, is if you bought one of the lower end ones, people thinking it's going to be one of the lower end draft picks. So I think there was the deal there. And so we'll see what happens. But I think that it was a great idea by Panini to have a live draft. I just wish they would have made that clear sooner. I think the confusion caused eBay sellers to get screwed out of a big payday, and it caused collectors to maybe even pay for some of that stuff, expecting a Kyrie or one of the top picks if you got one of the top ones. And it turns out it's not really going to be the case. But hey, those kind of things happen. Those are the risks you take. You knew it was kind of a cloudy situation. So it's just like investing in like Facebook and like Zynga and all these companies that like come out right in the beginning. And, you know, it's not like a Visa IPO or like a GM IPO. The companies that had been like in trend actually had stock beforehand and went bankrupt. So you kind of knew what you were getting into. These young companies that have like unproven business models that haven't been around very long. It was exactly like buying these draft picks. You could have taken the risk, could have doubled your money and hit the Kyrie Irving, or it could have been a live draft, and now you're going to maybe end up with the last pick. So, hey, those are the kind of things that happen. But what is for certain is there's also XRC redemptions for 2012 draft picks. So I don't know who I forget who got, even got that. Oh, the New Orleans Hornets, so it's got rigged. So the Hornets have the NBA rigged it and gave them, since they made a sale, it was probably contingent on the sale. I guarantee you, the guy who bought the team put in some kind of contingency. I got to get the number one pick if I'm going to drop whatever couple hundred million dollars on this team. So another NBA fix. So they got number one. Charlotte gets screwed. And I think the Warriors are in there somewhere. I think they might even have to give, I don't know if they have to give up their pick. I can't remember, but we'll see. That's in order. So the number one picks, those aren't autographed. I think I went over that on the last show. What else did I want to talk about in this first segment? That's about it. There was some interesting Topps Archives Baseball came out. So I'm sure you guys probably have checked that out by now. What else has come out? Oh, yeah, the Bowman Signatures football. That looked kind of weird. I thought that... You know what was weird to me was that if you think about it, like football, like there's Bowman Sterling. I don't know if I said this on the show before. Seems like I've had Bowman Sterling, and they have Bowman. I don't even know if they don't even make Bowman Chrome football. They make Bowman Sterling and like Bowman Platinum. I don't know why you use the Bowman brand, but like when you think of Bowman, you think of Bowman Chrome and Bowman. And then, but for some reason, when Topps puts out football products under the Bowman brand, they put out Bowman Platinum and Bowman Sterling, and like the two brands nobody gives a crap about. Like the two brands, they don't even sell well in baseball. Like, I don't understand. Like, and then they come out with this Bowman, I guess it's Bowman Signatures, but it says all the cards have Bowman on them. So, I don't know, man. I don't know what they're trying to do with the Bowman brand in football. The guy must be confused. Whoever's like laying this out. Not that the cards aren't nice. Not that if you've bought some, you got ripped off. But it just seems like I'm really just looking at a brand thing here. Like, if you're trying to build the Bowman brand, why don't you use the best? It sells well in baseball, and that's what collectors identify. And the same guys that buy baseball buy football. I don't understand why you don't use Bowman Chrome and Bowman in the same way you use it in baseball. I'm just confused. And then they come out with this Bowman Signature, which is a decent set. It's a somewhat decent set, but it's not like, it's not great. I don't know. The uniforms are really airbrushed. They're kind of weird looking. So I don't know. I don't know, but if you do like the set, the whole checklist is up on our website, and my brother's throwing up the SP. I guess there's these SP rookie variations, and I have two different airbrushed photos, which look ridiculous. Almost looks like it could not even be the dude, because they have these helmets on, and it almost looks like it could have been anybody, and they just stuck Andrew Luck on there. So, I don't know. And Andrew Luck is like, yeah, it's just weird. Just looks kind of weird. It's a really poor airbrush. Like him in a Stanford uniform, and they try to make it look kind of artsy. It just doesn't work for me, but maybe it works for you. I don't know. And I guess since there's not a whole lot out there right now, sometimes being first to market, it doesn't always have to be the best. It, you know, being the first to market sometimes with a video game system or with a pair of shoes or like a new idea, you don't really necessarily have to be the best. So, it will sell, and I'm sure people have it. Hey, if I had a Mohamed Sanu, popped a Mohamed Sanu out of there, or even if I was in the market for one, I probably could get one pretty cheap. I wouldn't be upset. And certainly if I opened a box and I got an Andrew Luck or RG3 or something like that, I'd be pumped. So, or that running back for Cleveland, I can't remember his name. He was a jerk, I guess, at the summit. So I wouldn't be expecting too much from him other than probably snippy comments on the videos that they post on the site. But coming up, we got Top Series 2 Baseball, Titanium Hockey. It just looked kind of interesting. Tier 1 Baseball is all next month. SPX Football. We got Limited Basketball. That should be an exciting one. And we got Rookie Anthology Hockey from Panini. We'll see what that looks like and what that is. And there's a soccer, 2012 Upper Deck Soccer is coming out next month too for soccer fans and anybody that collects. I know there's not that many U.S. soccer sets. I think Panini does some sets overseas, and there might be some if you're big into soccer. I'm sure there's more kind of collectibles and stuff you can get into overseas. But in terms of U.S. soccer, it seems like that Upper Deck soccer set is one of the only sets of the year, one of the few sets of the year. So I could see if you're pumped up about that set, which is weird. Like that Ace Tennis, there's this company that we don't really talk about it. I haven't really ever looked into it that much, but Ace Authentics or something like that. They make like a bunch of tennis products, and it just seems like those cards sell well. You see how much the Federer and the, obviously like the, some of the ladies, Kournikova and Sharapova and stuff like that sell for money. But, you know, Roger Federer and the Nadal guy, and there's this other guy that's playing well right now. Pretty interesting. So that's, You know, I actually think that like that tennis market's good because, hey, if you play tennis, not to stereotype tennis players, but usually tennis players, it's kind of like golfers get put into like, usually to play golf, you know, you got to have clubs and you got to play to play. And, you know, it's not like a basketball hoop at a par. You know, you can go there. I don't play a whole lot of golf. I just go there and practice chipping and putting because it's like, you know, it's $25, $30 to play sometimes. That's a lot of money. So, but you can go there. If you have clubs, you can just go there and chip and putt usually. So for free. And a bucket of balls is only like $4 or $5. So you can do that, you know, once a week too. But, my point was for sports card manufacturers, those are good sports because typically people do have money in those sports. If you're serious about tennis, if you're serious about golf, you usually have a lot of money, or not a lot. You don't usually have a lot of money. That's stereotyping it probably quite a bit, but there are quite a few golfers that have a decent amount of money. Whereas like, you know, you think about basketball players that have money, it's all the guys in the NBA. So, you know, there's not a lot of like 40-year-old rich guys that I know that just ball every day. So a lot of times they switch to golf and tennis because the young kids are just running out of gym. So my point is, you know, sometimes you got to go where the money is. And that Ace Authentics, they're always putting out sets, and always seems like they have all the guys in there, and it seems like the boxes sell. When I'm looking on eBay, I see people bidding on all the carts. So, hey, you know, sometimes you don't have to get into the baseball. Everybody gets into baseball, gets into football, gets into all these major sports where, hey, some soccer, golf, tennis, these are really popular sports, especially because from the casual fan, because a lot of casual fans play soccer and golf. And I know my brother-in-law like plays in like 2 or 3 soccer leagues. There's soccer leagues going on all the time around here. Seems like a great sport. Never played it personally and never really watched it as a spectator that much. But other than like the World Cup, I'll turn the World Cup on because it's kind of interesting. But a lot of people play soccer. So I think, you know, if I was going into the business of making cards or something, I'd look into those markets. I think those markets are definitely untapped. I think baseball and football and basketball, why it's cool to make those cards and get all the attention because of the major sports here in the U.S. I think those other sets are actually would be, and they're less athlete, especially in like tennis and golf. There's some less athletes you'd have to get really, you know, golf would be tough because Upper Deck does have Tiger Woods locked out. Speaking of Tiger, he had a really nice, I was watching on YouTube. I didn't get to catch the tournament, but saw his flop shot. If you just search like YouTube, that was an incredible shot. That was like watching Tiger Woods like all over again. I think the announcer even said it, like, who did that remind you of? And then he was like, Tiger. So I thought that was an interesting tournament. So followed it from the news like feed and stuff. Like I said, I didn't get to watch the tournament other than the one shot on YouTube. So, but hey, Tiger Woods getting back in the winter circuit, and that U.S. Open is actually coming out here to San Francisco, not too far. And honestly, I would go and I would get pictures and I would maybe try to get a couple autographs. I'd try to get Tiger Woods, but it'd be tough to get his autograph. But, you know, I'm trying to get an autograph or two to give away, but that, man, it's a nut house. I was in San Francisco today at the San Francisco Giants game, and it takes longer to get from the parking lot to the freeway, which is literally like right next to the stadium. It takes longer to do that than it takes the whole game. So, it's a nut, and especially the golf tournament, just being ridiculous to try to go there. And unless you, nah, I wouldn't even do it. I wouldn't. It's not even worth it. The TV is so much better with the golf, and I know where the course is. I've never been there. It's a private course, so obviously I've never played it. But I think it's a private course. And but man, it's a nut house. So hey, if you're going to the U.S. Open, this, I think it's next week. U.S. Open golf tournament is what I'm talking about, in San Francisco. If you're going, that'd be great. Hey, send me an email or let me know how it goes. But boy, oh boy, it's a, from somebody that's been to tournaments in San Francisco, especially when Tiger Woods plays, it's a nut house, and it's usually pretty tough to get in and out of the place. So hopefully, if you are going, it'll be a blast. I've been to the U.S. Opens before and been to other tournaments like that. It's a blast. It's a blast. It's always a lot of fun. But, you know, being local, screw that. I don't want to deal with it. So it would be fun to try to hit a practice round or try to go to one of the rounds, but I don't think I want to do it. So plus it's ridiculously expensive. So, cause like I said, golf's one of those sports where they know they can just charge you because you have typically a lot of the people there have money. So, but moving on, I don't think I have anything else to really talk about in this first segment. So we're going to go right into our second segment right after this short break. We're going to talk about scandals and shadiness. We're going to talk about things you need to just be aware of. Just be cautious. It doesn't mean that the whole business, the whole industry is bad or this kind of stuff is rampant. In fact, the more people talk about it, the more we let people know that, hey, this kind of stuff's out there, the less it has a chance of kind of, you know, infecting a lot of people or affecting a lot of people. I guess you could use both those words because, you know, if nobody knew that people were making fake patch cards or if nobody knew how to rip people off on PayPal, then, you know, sometimes the stuff I think could go, it's better just to talk about it. We'll throw pack searching on here. We'll talk about a lot of different things. And I think it's better just to talk about it than just to kind of put it off in the background and be like, oh, hope it doesn't happen to you. So we'll talk about it. I don't have them all in front of me, but I'll talk about some of the ones that I see and some of the ones that I see that have happened. And it's a reason why, I guess maybe to finish my point is from the very first thing I talked about is I get a lot of solicitations for people saying, hey, blah, blah, blah. Promote this, say this, you know, come use my website, blah, 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 blah. And it's kind of tough for me because I've seen that exact same thing happen. And 90% of the time, the website's gone in a year or 2 years for whatever reason. The guy loses interest. The guy didn't make any money. It didn't go as well as they thought it would. And so the site's gone. That usually happens. The other maybe 5% of the time is something bad happens. Some kind of shadiness, some kind of like randomness happens. And I would say very small percent of the time it works out and the site continues. I could go through I have 4 years, 4 or 5 years of emails here from this, mainly the last 2 or 3 years I have, and I bet you those percentages hold up to be true. So, if you do contact me and you have something to promote, sometimes I either don't respond or sometimes, it's not that I didn't read it or I didn't consider it. Sometimes I like sit on it for a while and it's better to just keep bothering me about it. Maybe another 3, 4, or 5 months down the line, just keep continuing to bother me about it, and then I'll feel more comfortable. And that's kind of what happened with today's promotion, which was cardstokids.org. If you keep bothering me about it, I eventually come through. Well, that about wraps it up, folks. We'll be back right after. What you gonna do? Yeah. Bad boys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? Bad boys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? When you were 8 and you had bad traits, you go to school and learn the golden rule. So why are you acting like a bloody fool? And we are back. Thank you for thanks for tuning in to the Sports Card Show podcast. Appreciate you guys hanging with us for the first half hour, we're on to scams, scandals, and shadiness. Got to give credit to PokerFraudAlert.com. Don't go there if you're not of poker playing age, but if you are and you're interested in the game, I just find the guy that set that site up not too long ago kind of interesting. So that's the thread starter of one of his, that's the thread title of one of his forum threads. So scams, scandals, and shadiness. So we're going to talk about it not in the poker sense, but in the card, sports card sense. We got lots of different things that we'll talk about here. First thing is first, we're going to talk about fake autographs and fake autographs on all kinds of stuff, from cards, people say, oh, I got TTM, or I got it at the stadium, blah, 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 but especially like 8x10s on jerseys, on stuff like that, especially high-priced athletes, LeBron, Kobe, Kevin Durant, Tiger Woods, these kind of guys. You got to be very, very, very careful buying anything that's not from one of their authenticated companies, because Michael Jordan's been with Upper Deck for as long as I can remember. Tiger Woods been with Upper Deck for as long as I can remember. Kobe's been with Upper Deck. He's been with Panini. I think he might have had a year there where he signed for Topps. LeBron's been with Upper Deck for as long as I can remember. They do not sign a whole lot of autographs, especially on like jerseys and stuff like that. That, you know, if you go to a card show, you'll see like 50 LeBron James autographed jerseys. And it's like, I guarantee you, not one, I would almost bet not one of those. If they're not Upper Deck authenticated, I would almost put down $100 that not a single one of those is good. Even something that was PSA DNA'd, I'd argue that they need to look at it again, because LeBron's just not going to sign stuff. My brother tried to get his autograph before he was drafted in the NBA when he was like 17 years old at a Laker game. LeBron wasn't going to sign anything. So and that was when he was 17. So you know, you got to be careful buying any kind of autograph, especially top end guys. You're going to pay the big. That's what gets faked a lot, is the Mickey Mantles and the Joe DiMaggio's, and they put all the holograms on them, and they have certificate authenticities mean nothing, even from really Upper Deck and Panini and stuff like that, because you could fake those. You could get a totally legitimate item and fake the Upper Deck hologram and all that stuff and make it look like it. So you got to be very careful. You got to look at things with an educated eye. Typically, when people get things faked, signed on something, they get it signed on something that's cheap. So if it's an NBA jersey, it's going to be a fake NBA jersey. And so you should be able to tell a real Adidas jersey from a fake one. No one's going to go to a store and buy an $80 or a $90, $100, $200 authentic Adidas jersey and then have LeBron sign it. They're going to go to eBay and get the $10 ones that look very real. And some of them are very nice, extremely nice. Some of them are almost as nice as the real thing. But you should be able to tell with stitching and the tags on the jersey and all that. That's a true sign that if the jersey's fake, almost 100% of the time the autograph's fake. And if the autograph is not fake, you don't want that anyways. Why do you want a real signature on a fake jersey? That's just me. A lot of people have that, and a lot of people do that. I see people line up at shows with what appears to be fake Mitchell and S jerseys, trying to get those signed. And it's just, that's just not me. I mean, yeah, if it's just going to hang on your wall, that's cool. But for me, I'd rather just save up the money and buy a real $400 Mitchell and S jersey and then go pay Joe Montana $200 to sign it. And, you know, in the end, I'm paying a couple hundred extra dollars, but it's just a much more nicer collectible. So I don't know. That's just me. But those are the things you want to. When I go to card shows, I see tons of fake stuff. Usually fake autographs on fake jerseys. And that's just, you got to be real careful about that. Helmets, a little bit different. Mini helmets, it's only $20 at wholesale. I think they're like $10 or $15. You can definitely get them on sale at times for $10. Be careful with the mini helmets. The full-size helmet, if it's like a real helmet, you know, I mean, anybody's going to fake anything these days. And if they could put a $400 signature on a $100 helmet and sell it for, you know, $400, they're going to do it. So just be careful when you're buying items. It's, even if the jersey's authentic and the helmet's authentic and it's got some hologram and some papers, if you didn't see Jerry Rice sign it, if you didn't see Joe Montana put his pen to that helmet, then I would almost lean towards the side that it's fake than it's real. And just always be cautious of that. And also be cautious of good deals. Anybody saying, oh, I got this Peyton Manning autograph helmet, or I got this Gale Sayers autograph shoe or whatever, and I'll sell it to you for $150, or I'll sell it to you for way less than you see them go on eBay, and then that's another sure sign that it's for sure fake. Because if you had something that you could easily sell on eBay for $200, or you could put on Craigslist for $200, why are you selling it to your boy for $100? You know, just that doesn't happen. Most people don't cut deals like that unless it's like a true friend. And if it's a true friend, hopefully he's not out to screw you. So just be careful of the autographs. And buying autographs off friends is probably not a good idea either, because he could have got screwed. So you never know. You don't want to put bad money after more bad money. So just be careful buying autographs. My best advice would be just try to get that in person, or try to, you know, hey, if you live in, no offense, but if you live in Idaho, I don't know how many sports card shows or how many times Joe Montana or Tom Brady rolls through town and you need his autograph. Hey, make some friends, make some connections, try to get a really trustworthy relationship. If you can't travel, can't go to a show, can't go to the Baltimore show that's coming up in August. Hey, my brother's going. My brother's a pretty trustworthy guy. If you needed something signed and one of the athletes is there, we could probably work something out. That's something that I think could be worked out. You know, obviously, hey, if my brother keeps the Pete Rose and learns how to sign something and spits it back to you, you know, those are the kind of risks you got to take. But I'd rather take that risk than buying some Pete Rose baseball off the street that I didn't see Pete sign. You know, I'd rather send my brother to Baltimore and have him confirm that it was that's good enough for me. If I can't be there, someone that I know and I trust, that's another option. So just be careful with the fake autographs out there. It's just rampant. It's when I would estimate if you go to a show, minus the cards, if you just take all the jerseys and the helmets and the 8x10s, I would say 90% or more is fake, probably more. So just don't buy that stuff at card shows, especially, and those kind of things. I just think a lot of that stuff is fake that I see there. I see people with dusty jerseys, and you would not have a LeBron James autographed jersey dusty. You just don't get those cheap. Upper Deck sells them wholesale for like $800, or like $400. I don't know what they wholesale at, but I remember back in the day they were like $400 or $500 wholesale. That would never be sitting out dusty on my show table. It would be in a case, and I wouldn't let people touch it. So that's you just got to be careful there. Fake patches and jersey cards, you got to be real. This happens all the time. I see this a lot on eBay. It's pretty gross. People are cutting out, they're getting the fake jerseys off eBay or whatever, and they're cutting off little prime patches there, and they're sticking on there. Now, companies are getting a little bit better. They're trying to put prime on there. I've seen some cards where it has like a plastic sheen over it to kind of protect the patch. Or they try to put little pieces of cardboard over the patch, like those silhouette cards and stuff. But still, guys can cut around that. They can get creative. Just be careful buying these patch cards. It's, you know, if it's out of $299 and it's got the NFL logo, or it's got the Bengals eyeball on there, or like some sick patch, and it's some common, and every other jersey card on eBay is a common one, except for this like couple ones that are popping up. Be careful there. And also be careful of people with big feedback. This is like goes under the eBay scams. Just because a guy has 100% feedback and he has all this perfect record, they could just be setting that up. And they could just all of a sudden, I've seen people do that. I've seen people just kind of go on a bad streak. They need the money, or they get exposed to, oh, I can make some fake patch cards and make a lot more money than I was just selling the cards just as is. People do that, or they buy accounts, or they sell a bunch of cheap items for 6 months and rack up 400,000 or 600,000 feedback. You just got to be careful. Got to be careful of all the kind of stuff like that that happens out there. And I would really just, people even do it to the like national, probably not as much, but people even do it for like big time cards that would sell for a lot of money anyways. but maybe the patch wasn't as nice, or usually there is quite a bit of premium on the really nice National Treasures patches or the really nice exquisite patches. So sometimes people go over the top there. So you got to be careful. Even if you're buying a card that was already a sick patch, sometimes people, that wasn't good enough for them. They needed to make it even sicker, and they really damage a card, really totally, devalue a card tremendously once it's finally known. But you, ways to tell, it's kind of tough on eBay. You gotta just be careful. If it's too much money for you to have it be a scam, don't buy it. That's my best advice for this whole segment. If it's too much money for you to find out later that it's fake, don't buy it. Just find something else to spend the money on, or just, you know, wait until you're 100% sure, where you have Kobe Bryant sitting in front of you signing something. You know, wait for that opportunity instead of blowing your money. You'd be much rather save it up and then bid on one of Kobe will have charity auctions in the future, I'm sure, to meet him and get anything you want signed. I'm sure it'll become more accessible. Even Barry Bonds was in the booth, and one of the guys that was like the rudest to everybody, fans, media, everybody, he was in the booth at the Giants game trying to get everybody on his side. Everybody turns the corner after they retire, and everybody stops paying attention to him. They realize, oh, well, maybe I gotta be nice to people now. So you'll have a chance. That's my point there. Just be careful. Fake patches, they're out there. And again, if it's too much money to lose, don't buy it. If you think it might be fake, don't buy it. If the edges, even if you think it's, but one of the edges, ways to tell is around the jersey cards, because they got to cut it out. They can mess with the edges of the card where the jersey was. So that it could be peeled up a little bit because they got to like slide it under there again. It could be kind of pried up a little bit. It just won't look natural, won't look crisp and clean like it normally does. And you can obviously do comparisons. There should be plenty of photos out there on a Google search, even on eBay, even for rare cards. You can log into PhotoBucket. That's another thing people don't do enough, I think, is log into PhotoBucket and search for cards. You can do it there. You can search, check out my cards. They've got lots of photos usually of cards as well. You can do a lot of comparison there. That's what I would do for those fake patches. Fake cards, that happened a lot more back in the day when you had vintage cards that were printed on technology that wasn't as sophisticated as printers today. So fake cards, you got to be careful with the vintage ones still. Those are cards that are worth a lot of money, especially in very good condition. So you just got to be careful with buying those vintage cards, I think. Today, cards probably still get faked, but I would really say not as much. It's really just the patches and the autographs and people either signing them, faking the signatures and stuff like that, selling them as signatures. I remember people get confused sometimes by the fake facsimile signatures that Topps puts on their regular sets and in Bowman. Those kids would open packs and think they got like 5 autograph cards or like 8 autograph cards. I had to explain to them, no, that's just not a real signature right there. That's not a real autograph. So you got to be careful. Some people, new to the hobby don't really know that stuff. So you just got to be careful and always do comparisons. And if it's always too good to be true, then it usually is in anything, but especially in cards. PayPal scams. This is one that I think we talked about. I heard a great story, bad for him because he got screwed, but he told it so well. If you're into Huff and Stapes, I think just do a search for Huff and Stapes. If you're into comedy and you're old enough to listen to adult comedy, 21, 18, or older, or whatever, Huff and Stapes does a good. And Joe Stapleton, one of the most talented individuals on that program, told a story about he got scammed by PayPal, and it was through Craigslist. He paid somebody on Craigslist through PayPal and then hand-delivered a MacBook Air to him, and then the guy later reversed the PayPal transaction, and my friend then thought about it, oh, wait, I never have any record of me giving the item. He totally could get away with that. So you got to be careful. The way it happens on eBay is people ship things out without a delivery confirmation. So I could buy something on PayPal, you could ship it to me regular first class. Mainly it's for overseas items. And that's why if you live overseas, you notice less and less and less people are shipping overseas, unless they're charging you full priority price, because they need a tracking number, because if you say you don't got the item to PayPal, PayPal is going to give you your money back 100% of the time. So you need to be very wary of that, whether you're buying something or you're selling something. So, but especially if you're selling something, don't sell anything on eBay and especially Craigslist without, even if it's someone in your local area, don't get paid with PayPal. Take the cash. Don't get stuck with him reversing the trend. And if he needs to pay you through PayPal, then there needs to be some kind of, you'll need to look into it. I can't give you advice on that, but just be careful. Know that that is what people are doing. People are doing it right now on PayPal and right now on eBay. They're buying items, getting it shipped to them. They say they didn't get it. No delivery confirmation. No luck. Full refund for whatever the item is. MacBook Airs, golf clubs, doesn't matter. So be very careful about that, especially if you're selling. Always ship with a delivery confirmation number. Bad traders. This happens on our forum, happens on all the forums. So you got to be very careful. People come there and they either have the cards or they don't, or they have intentions to trade and then they don't trade them. A lot of the times it's young kids. A lot of the times it's young kids that can't go to the post office on their own, don't have the money to ship it, don't have the money, or their parents say, well, once their parents find out, like, oh, why are you going to the post office? Why are you trading these cards that I typically the parent bought? They want it, you know, sometimes the parents find out, and I think then that's when the trades go down or go bad, or they just can't get to the post office, or they don't have the money for the stamps, and their parents aren't going to give them any more money to buy cards because they have already felt like they've given them enough money. So I think most of the time, I don't think the people are I could be wrong about this, but I don't think people are logging in saying, I'm going to go make a bunch of bad trades and get a bunch of free cards. I would say that that's some people's intentions, but I would say probably most people's intentions are somewhat good, that they want to make these trades, but something happens. They make the trades and they don't ever send the cards out, or they get the cards and they realize, oh, well, I don't have to send this guy the card now. And some kind of evilness creeps in. It's like, you see those, the analogy is always you have like a devil on your shoulder and an angel on your other one, or whatever it is, or one dressed in red and one dressed in white. So good and evil person. And we kind of listen to both. And I think sometimes with some people, they listen to the evil one more, because that's just kind of the nature. Sometimes people get it, and it happens in all kinds of life. So all walks of life, young and old, you make the bad decisions even when you get older. So this is not to just pin it all. There's bad traders that I'm sure are older as well. So you got to be real careful, even with a guy with like good feedback and people say, hey, good trader. The same analogy applies here. If it's too risky to trade with a guy where you don't get card back, then don't do it. Or set up some kind of escrow. You should be able to find some neutral third party that you guys both trust, and you should be able to ship through them. An extreme case could be like, check out my cards. You both could like send in a card, one week it, and then somehow transact the card on that and have them both, there's some way, there would be some way to do that. That's like outside the box thinking. You could do it on eBay, I'm sure. There's some way where you could get a neutral third party and somehow get this money escrowed, or get the cards escrowed until you both got them or whatever. There'd be a way to do it. So just be careful. Don't do trade. I think if you're doing trades with like lots of cards, say you have like you're doing a trade with a guy that you don't trust and you're doing about 20 cards, what I would do is just do one at a time until it's like, okay, I trust this guy, or I got enough information on this guy to where if he doesn't trade with me, I could get him back. So those kind of things happen. Just be careful and just don't trade on forums all you want. I think it's cool, and I do it a lot. I do a lot of purchase. I don't do a lot of trading because I don't have a lot of cards in person, but I do a lot of buying. People have things for sale. I want a Jordan Crawford autograph, or I sometimes throw out Andy Dalton's, but nobody sells those for cheap or whatever. But usually I throw out the random basketball players, the Gordon Haywards, the Jordan Crawfords, the Wesley Matthews, people that the average, some of you are like, these guys, I don't know. But honestly, those guys might be really solid here. Wesley already kind of turned the corner. I think Gordon Hayward's going to be one of those guys that's going to be a really solid basketball player if he can build his game up a little bit. He needs to build his range a little bit, needs to build up his consistency, and not really his defense. I think they have enough defense on the back end in Utah. But anyways, I'm getting off track here. Anytime I start talking about basketball, it's not good. But bad traders, just be careful about them. They're out there. Another thing is pack searchers. Packs, if you go to Target and you're buying loose packs, you're never going to get a jersey card. I should say never, because I've pulled jerseys. I've pulled really nice autographs. I've pulled expensive autographs and nice autographs. So I should say never, but be aware that a lot of the loose packs sitting out there are going to be felt up and searched. So just know that if there's one hit in a what seems to be a brand, there's only one pack missing from this, 2010 Topps, whatever football box. I know there's one hit in here, and there's only one pack, so my odds are good that it's still in there. No, it's not in there, because the one guy came through and he did it. So they either use scales or they feel them or whatever. They, there's all kinds of different things. Basically, those are the two methods. So it happens. Companies have tried to fight it with packaging and dupe cards and all that kind of stuff. It doesn't necessarily always work. Sometimes it does. Sometimes it has the reverse effect. It happens. If you're buying packs, hey, whatever. The companies need to do a better job at making the regular cards and the base cards worth more. And, and more collectible and more fun to get. And the autographs are hard to search for. That's the thing. It's like I've gotten Evan Longoria. I've seen a guy get a John Elway autograph from retail. I've seen lots and lots of autographs come out of retail. So one of our fan forum listeners pulled a Blake Griffin autograph. So it happens. You can get autographs. So I don't think you – so it's not to say you shouldn't buy the packs, because I think there's good cards sitting there. It's just be aware that a lot of times the jersey cards and the thicker cards are already pulled out because people go in there. I've seen literally this happen. I think it's either like Tuesday or Wednesday. People show up to it's when the stock comes out. So people know when, like, people put out cards at Target. I literally saw this guy get dropped off by his parents at the front of Target, and I was walking, and the store had just opened. The store had literally, the doors had just kind of unlocked, and this guy gets dropped off right then and walks in, makes a beeline right over the cards. First thing he does is starts feeling up all of the packs that kind of just got put out. So I was like, wow, this fool got dropped off by his mom and dad, and he straight goes and searches the pack. He knows exactly when the stuff got put out. It was interesting. So I found that kind of interesting. So got to be careful about that. And the hot pack auctions, that's another thing. Hot pack auctions on eBay, I know I've talked about this in the past. Got to be careful buying those, because what if they're wrong? What if it's an extra card, or the dupe card just felt like a jersey card, or whatever, he's just wrong. It's not a jersey card. What happens? How are you going to get your money back? You bought a hot pack. You were expecting a jersey card. You paid a couple extra dollars more than a normal pack, and then all of a sudden you got three extra base cards, or the dupe card just is really thick, and they did a really good job. What are you going to do? You know what I mean? Like, are you going to get your money back? I don't think so. Like, it's just, you got to be careful. Got to be real careful buying those hot packs. I can't believe people sell. That would be the risk. That guy could open pack, get a Babe Ruth cut, and say he didn't get anything. Like, what am I going to do as a seller? Like, am I going to be like, you're lying? Like, the customer is always right. So that's why I have trouble getting into those. Customer's not always right, but when you're starting a business, you need to be like, okay, the customer's always right. So when he comes at me with this problem, he needs to be right, And if in that situation, I'm always giving out refunds if the customer's always right. So I won't ever go into selling the hot pack business. So you should always think about that, especially young people, young entrepreneurs, or people at the age where you're trying to start it. Even if you're older and you're trying to start a new business or something, always think the customer's right. So in any bad situation, will I have to refund him? Will I have to give him money back? How much will I lose when he's right? So just think about that. And, that'll lead to more quality businesses, more quality customer service. But moving on, pack searchers, I don't have a whole lot here left. I know there's more scams, scandals, and shadiness. Websites, one example was this guy was like repackaging cards a while back. he was like taking our content, and he was like taking, it's like pure easy way to see a scam website is they just RSS feed in like CBS News, and they RSS in feed Yahoo News, and so their site looks like it's getting updated every 20 minutes, but it's from ESPN, it's from CBS, they're writing nothing of their own, there's no original content on there. That's 100% a fake website, especially if they're selling something. You should run, you should close it as quickly as you can. This guy was like selling repay, he was like repackaging cards, putting them in these little tins, and like doing box breaks and selling spots and stuff like that. And ended up scamming people for a decent amount of money, I think, because he was selling them for a decent amount. He was selling for like $100 a piece or something like that. So ridiculous. Don't get involved in that kind of stuff. I don't care. What he did was he front-loaded his website with fake content, then he front-loaded a couple videos and got people to trust him, and then he burned you right when he knew he got the trust and he could get the money, and he knew he could burn you, he got you. So got to be careful about those kind of things. Next thing is Panini, Topps, and Upper Deck. I know that they say game used on this stuff, and they say autographs, but we've seen Jordan Swaggerty in baseball, who's like a baseball product, have Magic Johnson on it. So if those kind of mistakes happen where you're putting one of the greatest basketball players of all time, and I can imagine getting those signatures is not cheap. Getting Magic Johnson to sit down and sign for you, while they can do it at an affordable cost for a company because they're reselling them, it's still not cheap. And it goes on some random baseball prospects. It's showing you that stuff's not labeled correctly because obviously somebody thought those Magic Johnson, nobody knew that they were putting Magic. They thought that was Jordan Swaggerty's or whatever his name was. I think that was his name. They didn't consciously do that. That was an accident on a level way before that. Somebody mislabeled that. So you could have a jersey card label in a Derrick Rose, but it could have gotten mislabeled, and it's actually Luol Deng's. So those kind of things I'm sure have happened if they mess up one of the greatest basketball players of all time. And there's been other instances where those sticker autographs have actually been somebody else. Through all the companies have made that mistake. You know it's happened with jersey cards. Just be aware of that. Not saying that it happens 100, you know, even a high percentage of the time, or in every product, or even every year. Just understand that human error will occur. And the jersey card you have may or may not be from that player, and may or may not be from an NBA game, and may or may not be game worn. Even whatever, I don't care what it says on the card. I don't care how reputable you think these companies are. You didn't see it. You didn't see it come off right off Derrick Rose's back and cut up and put on that card. Neither did Panini. Neither did Upper Deck. Neither did Topps. None of these companies saw it come right off Derrick Rose's back and right onto the card. Nobody had that chain of custody kind of thing. So we're all kind of going on trust. And I would say for the most part, I would say they do a pretty good job. Just be careful. eBay, same kind of thing. Just be careful of people with lots of feedback and deals too good to be true, or they all of a sudden don't sell anything for a while, and then they have all these $1,000 items, and they're blowing them out at penny auctions. Just be careful about that. I'd be careful about those other websites that make you pay for bids, like you bid to win kind of websites, where you pay for bids and then you use those bids to bid on items. That's just a total ripoff for you. That's like, and having that website is just like, no, that business model doesn't work. So just don't forget about that. Maybe it does, but maybe if it does, send me an email, sportscardshow@gmail.com. You can get on me at Twitter at sportscardradio, and then Facebook, facebook.com/sportscardradio. If that business model works, let me know, but I don't think it does. Last thing I wanted to say, I think I've said this on the show, I don't know. This is wild conspiracy, but it's, again, scams, scandals, and shadiness. It's better to be aware of it before it happens than have it actually happen and then be like, dang, I wish I would have saw that. A business like the one business that I use quite a bit outside of eBay and stuff like that, and forums and Twitter and stuff like that to communicate with other people, is Check Out My Cards. And it's a nice website because they have all the cards held for you and blah, 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 blah. But the problem is it could, a site like that, and I'm not saying I think this is going to happen. I'm not saying that I anticipate this happen. I just say from researching tons and tons of businesses through investing in the stock market, check out my cards was a stock, I probably would not invest in it. I would not buy any of its stock for the one reason being that they could quickly go under. And I could be mistaken about this, but from what I know about the business, just like investing in a company, you don't know the whole truth. You just know from what the paperwork and what you see on the surface. So I don't know their financials, so I'm really making a guess here. But this is the kind of business that could easily, not easily, but you could quickly go from having a really profitable company here. If your key sellers, if the guys that hold the cards pull out for some reason, guys that have lots of cards decide maybe eBay, who could easily cut fees in their one category if they felt like it. If eBay wanted to eliminate Check Out My Cards for some reason, they probably could, because they could either offer free listings or they could do some coup where they just drop the fees to where it made much more sense to sell on eBay. All of a sudden, Check Out My Cards would not be – sure, they would ship a lot of their cards out, but they have a very large building where they're amassing all these cards. Now, imagine if you don't have to have that building anymore. And they have a large staff, I think, as well. They have in the teens almost. Imagine if you needed to go back to when it was probably a one- or two-man operation. It's hard to shed a 50,000 square foot building that you probably have a multi-year – you have to have a multi-year lease on to even get agreements on those kind of buildings. And it's hard to shed workers when you're paying probably 401ks or workers' comp and other kind of thing. And when you'd have to pay them – yeah, workers' comp if you fire them, insurance. So it's there – you got to be very – that's the only thing that that worries me a little bit about that site, is it could easily turn in the other direction, especially the bigger and bigger it gets. It's just like, hey, anybody – you know, that's why GM went bankrupt. That's why Fannie and Freddie Mac are still bankrupt, and we're still paying we'll never be able to bail them out. And that's why a lot of the banks went bad. They had all these loans – that they were like, oh, these are all worth so much money, everybody's going to pay us back on these loans, and if not, then we'll have the house, and the house is going up every day. What happens when all that falls out from underneath you, and all your good customers, all the homeowners that were all paying their loans, all their fluctuating interest rate loans, what happens when they all stop paying? Oh, wow, all your money goes away, and the whole financial system goes bust. So the same kind of thing, I'm just saying that I don't anticipate that happening. I don't foresee that happening to Check Out My Cards, but I'm saying it could happen. It absolutely could happen that key players decide to withdraw their cards and sell them somewhere else, or decides to keep them even. He just decides to cut, like, the top four. It wouldn't take that many guys. For a couple guys to pull their cards, and then at the same time, other people say, oh, I don't want to send my cards there anymore. Or for some reason, people fall out of favor of using that site. It could quickly turn the other direction, and you'd want to pull your money and you'd want to pull your cards very quickly. So, not to say that's going to happen. I hate spreading, I'm not trying to spread a rumor or anything like that. I'm just being honest. And being honest, scandals and shadiness. It's just like my website. If you come to my website and you read through the checklist and I had 28 cards on there and you got them all and you think you got the whole set and you go sell it and there's really 30 cards, well, technically I kind of screwed you too. And you got to be aware of that too, is that with my website, it's not the gospel. It's not the to cover my own booty here, I'm going to bash on my own self. So I don't want people to think I got on here to make fun of their websites. My website has faults too, and not everything's perfect. I don't have all the information there. You could go to plenty of other websites and find the exact same thing. So, you know, take it for what it's worth is what maybe this whole segment should have been called. So I just want to make you guys aware of all the kind of things that are out there. Plus, hey, I got to be real here. Check out my car. One of our fan forum members won their video. I probably wouldn't have done that if they would have let my boy steal second, win the promo. Like, he really legitimately won a couple of months ago. So I'll always have a little bone to pick over at that site. So even despite me being, I think I'm like in the top 100, 100, 200 sellers on the whole site. So I have, how many cards? 10,791. That's a lot of cards. So what's the book value? Oh, wow, $36,000. Believe me, I do not have $36,000. If I had $36,000 worth of cards, they'd be all sold, and I'd have something super nice. Because believe me, I don't have, if I had $36,000 right now, I don't even know if I'd do this podcast. That's a lot, that's a fortune. So, we'll see what happens. Scam, scandals, and shadiness, folks. I just want you to be aware of the fake autographs, the fake patches, people trying to rip you off on forums, people trying to rip you off on websites, people trying to rip you off on eBay, people trying to rip you off on all over the place, on my forum, everybody, all over the place. People trying to rip you off. So just want you to be aware of it and be careful. And don't be scared to ask questions. Don't be scared to turn down a deal. Don't be scared to you know, not trust somebody. I think that's okay. And I think me being from the town I'm from, you don't trust nobody. Even some of your friends you don't trust for a while. And so you just learn that right from the beginning. And I think people from smaller towns, it's totally the opposite. You trust everybody and you're friends with everybody because it's such a small town. There's no reason to lock your door half the time. Back in the day, Mom, I drive around my grandma's Mercedes. I remember she used to just leave the doors open. She was like, if somebody wants to steal it, go ahead. There's nothing in there to steal anyways. She would just leave the doors open. I always thought that was kind of interesting. We live in a different time now, especially in my town, where there's a murder happening every week, sometimes more. Sometimes there's two right up the street, not that far from here. So I hear the gunshot sometimes. You got to be careful, especially when you're buying cards. You got to be careful, fake patches, fake autographs, anything. You got to be real careful. I just want you guys to be aware that those kind of things happen. Well, let's... Now that we just had a whole negative segment where we just totally downered ourselves with negative news, we'll try to end it here positive. I don't know what our positive message here. The NBA playoffs have been really positive. Although, like I made a joke earlier that the NBA was rigged and they gave, and that might be true, actually. And it might be true that the NBA really just wants 2 7-game series here and they just let it go to 7 games. They should really just do what football does and let it be like, how fun would that be in basketball if it was just a 1-game series? If it was straight just 1 game, just like the NCAA tournament where it was just Lakers and Denver 1 game, then it was Lakers and Oklahoma 1 game, and Oklahoma and San Antonio 1 game, and Miami and Boston 1 game, and then you play, maybe you do like a 3-game series for the final. I think that would be kind of interesting, but it doesn't happen. That's why college basketball is kind of exciting, I guess. So that's been positive. We got the golf. We got Tiger. Seems like he's everybody's like saying, I'll maybe talk a little bit more about Tiger. I guess Tiger won like 4, 5, 6 weeks ago at Arnold Palmer's tournament, and then he had a really rough stretch where I think he missed a cut, and he had a really bad couple of tournaments. And people were like, dang, Tiger's done. I was hearing on the radio, Tiger's done, Tiger. And I was like, dude, just won. Tiger's just figuring out his game right now, and it looked like his swing, he was actually swinging the club pretty well. I'm not saying he's going to go win at an Olympic or if he's even going to play well, because I think he's in that stage where a lot of golfers, like if you play golf, you know exactly the feeling that Tiger Woods is having right now, where you're like, you're better than a beginner, but you're not up to where you're breaking 80, where you're about, but you're like right there. You're shooting 87, 88 sometimes, but sometimes you go out and you blow it up for like 100. And I remember being that kind of player at one time where I could play good, shoot 80, 85, 85, 86, 87. I'm like, man, I'm feeling really good. I'm going to break, you know, by the end of the summer, I'm going to break 80. And then the next time you go out, you shoot like 110 or like you just blow it up. You just hit some really bad shots and you have a really bad day. That happens, and I think Tiger, obviously Tiger's not blowing it up and shooting, you know, his blow up is a 75, 76 kind of round, but he's just getting in the groove here. He's just getting his swing back. His swing looks pretty darn good, and his chipping, his motion, his leg action, his keeping his head a little bit, his hips really is where it's at with Tiger. Everybody talks about his head dipping, his knees and his angles. It's his hips. He's got to like keep those hips level, and keeps those level and kind of just turns those through the target. You know, boom, Tiger Woods is going to be fine. And everything looks pretty good to me. From what I saw on YouTube and the couple practice, I saw a couple ESPN highlights of his like first or second round. Things look pretty good to me. So I think Tiger Woods, he's got a long ways to go too. And he's got a long career ahead of him. And I think he's probably still got 6, 7, 10 years left where he could win quite a few tournaments. We saw Tom Watson. We saw Greg Norman, for God's sakes, compete at the British Open. I mean, Greg Norman almost won the British Open a couple years ago. Tom Watson almost won the British Open, I think, a couple years ago. So you see, guys can, you know, Jack Nicklaus won the Masters in 86, but I think in like 92, I don't know, there was one year where he was paired with Ernie Els, I think in the last round, and Jack made somewhat of a run there. It wasn't like he was in the lead or anything, but it wasn't too long ago that even Jack Nicklaus made a little bit of a foray at them. Not even the 86, it was after that. It was like the 99 one. I don't remember which one, which Masters it was. He wore like a funky shirt. I remember Ernie Els was paired with him. Everybody was just kind of watching Jack play. It might have been on a Saturday. I don't remember if it was on a Sunday or not. But Tiger's got a long ways to go. Don't listen to people counting him out. He's got a ways to go with his swing and getting it grooved, but it looked like to me he's getting it grooved. Like, he has it grooved, and then he kind of probably goes and works on some other things, and then he loses the groove. But once he gets in that groove and he's just swinging, he's just hitting it to the target and, like, really focusing, and maybe his caddy relationship. His caddy seems a little doesn't talk enough for me, but we'll see what happens. We'll see. I think Tiger will be fine. No matter who, I could go out there and carry his bag and he'd win. If he's in the groove, anybody listening to this if you're listening to this podcast, you could go carry Tiger's bag. He'd still win. That's how good he is. Well, that was a pretty positive note. You knowing when Tiger's in the groove, you could go and caddy for him and he could still win. Literally. He's that good. That about wraps it up today, folks. I don't really have a whole lot. An hour? Yeah, that's a long show. So we're done. We got a little scandal. Shady, just remember to hit up cardstokids.org. You could send them your cards. Send them your junk. I mean, that's what I like about the – I don't mean send them your junk because I don't think any cards are junk. Send them your cards. Send them your cards that you don't want, that are just sitting in the shed or sitting in the basement or sitting in the, if anybody has basements nowadays. I lived in a house that has, believe it or not, I lived in a house that had a basement. Out here in California, they're pretty rare. But I did live in a house that had a basement, or in your garage, in storage. Send it, you know, they'll get in the hands of somebody, even if, you know, it's some kid that's flipping them in the wall or flipping them in the street or, you know, making little Chinese footballs out of them. It doesn't matter, you know. Plenty of them will be read. Plenty of them, people will play a little puzzle game. Remember, there's lots of things you can do with the cards. If anything, you can kind of just see people who have had a dream and have realize some kind of success, even though you're sending them probably a lot of cards of some athletes that didn't really make it. Well, at least they followed their dream through, you know, and they made either the minor league, they got drafted, or they got made it to the major leagues, played a couple games, or they played a couple games in the NBA, played in the D League, played overseas, whatever it is. These people are like, that's good for kids. Some of them might have had struggles too. We might get cards of Tiger Woods. He's had some struggles. We might get cards of like Chris Anderson. He's had some interesting struggles. Some other guys, you know, even like Josh Hamilton's a guy that I really respect, and I really respect his story and like how he's been up front with it. And even like, I guess he had, I don't know, everybody was saying he had a setback. I was expecting him to have been passed out on some hotel. He just said he like went and had a couple drinks, it seemed like, at a bar. And I was like, I mean, this guy's really up front. So, and really honest. And so I respect people like that. And I think that's, we respect, there's lots of athletes. Like, none come to the top of my head. I think of the unhonest ones like O.J. Simpson and people like that. But there's been lots of athletes that have been. I see Walter Payton's name right here, and he's another guy that I think came out later in his career and was honest about some addiction and some other things in his life that affected him. So that's good. That, you know, my point was, is, you know, getting that in the hands of kids is good. Letting them see these kind of things and seeing people that have come before them and have accomplished stuff and had some struggles even too is always good. It's always good to identify with people like that. So it shows that, hey, nobody's perfect. Nobody hits a home run every time. Nobody hits it 300 yards straight down the middle. Nobody's a perfect husband. Nobody's a perfect father or perfect wife. So we all make mistakes. So, and that's maybe a great way to end, because scandals and shadiness, it's actually very difficult to say that. We all make mistakes. We all, you know, things happen. So that's not to say that if you get ripped off buying a LeBron, or you get ripped off on some trades or something, or eBay guy gets you or whatever, that it's all good and he'll live a good life and so will you. But, you know, hey, bad things happen, but we got to move on. Everybody makes mistakes. You just got to be careful in life. And sometimes when you make mistakes, that's when you learn the most. Sometimes, you know, that's when you have your biggest growth. So I don't want you to – that's why we had the show today. I don't want you to get blown on $100 or get, you know, blow through $300 or blow through a bunch of trades and you not get what you're promised in return or whatever. Or buy some card you thought was game worn, turns out to be player worn. Just be aware of what you're buying. Do as much research as you possibly can. There's plenty of photos, plenty of sites like ours, and all kinds of sites out there and blogs that exist. And even ones that haven't been updated might have information on older cards and stuff like that. So just go do as much research as you can. Look around, ask people. Feel free to ask questions. Send me an email, sportscardshow@gmail.com. I try to respond to all those emails and those kind of things. Even like that, people ask me how much is a, you know, autograph worth. I'll go look. You know what I mean? Like, I'll go look and see if I can, or a one of one. Lots of time I get questions on one of ones and or what a rare card is worth. I'll try to help you out. So scams, scandals, and shadiness, they happen, but people make mistakes. People do bad things, but just be aware of it. It happens, and for the most part, I don't think it's rampant in the hobby. But just be aware, and the more, and make your other fellow collectors aware too. Just be like, hey, it's all good. Just be aware that this kind of stuff happens, and just enjoy collecting. Enjoy all the positive stuff. But just know, hey, bad stuff happens. I'm gonna avoid it. I'm never gonna get burned. I'm not gonna lose more money than I can afford to lose. So. That's the key tip of the day. And hey, we'll wrap it up right there. Have a good rest of the day, weekend, week, whatever, wherever you're at in today's, during today. I don't know. I've after an hour, I'm pretty much out of it myself. So thanks for tuning in. Good luck with your collection. Hopefully you guys got some good stuff and getting some good deals. You know, you're not getting scammed. You're not, nothing bad is happening to you. Hopefully you're getting good things. You're getting good cards. You're pulling good cards out of packs. You're getting good ends of trades. You're like, everything's rolling for you guys. Hopefully everything's like that's happening, especially like in your life too, you know, not just with cards. Hopefully you're getting raises and getting promotions. You're getting new jobs, or like if you're in school, you're getting good grades and you're progressing, you're moving forward in life. So hopefully all that stuff's happening for you. Until next time, thank you very much for tuning in. We are out of here.